and they require they have a they require but they do have a provision for a third party
we could say approved by authority and a professional engineer license by the state of
Oregon. Yeah. So there are a handful of third party reviewers out there, and that's the other difficulty part of not having any relationship, because there's not a lot of them out there. There's
One of the advantages of adding a PE is you've got a stamp on the line.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly.
That gets you there.
And that can satisfy everybody. Licenses on the line.
I got enough for that. Minor modification, we covered that. I gave you two choices.
Which one are you in favor of? I mean, were you proposing one, or I know which one I like. What?
The language that's in blue is what I'm offering. The language that's in white is what came out of, I believe, Shalana beginning earlier.
I prefer the language in white, but if we want to do the language in blue, then I have a few comments on it. Actually, not that many.
I assume that the definition includes all facilities, patients, and new towers. And
yep.
That makes sense.
Both of them do.
I referenced, went back to 99020B2 for quasi-jurisdictional. It talks about applications for new wireless communication facilities, comma, including support structures, which made me wonder, now, are those different or wireless communication?
Are we in the first one or the second one? Can we just help? There's one statement, then there's the or, then there's the alternative. Which one are we in? Or is it more general than that?
I don't really have a preference one way or the other. So I noticed that one has monopole in it.
One of them is a little more specific on what we need, support structures. And then on the first one, we have batteries, generators, and or fuel tanks.
And I would like to see that back in there,
and,
too.
I did not have it in the blue.
Yeah. For me, if we went with the blue, I would like two things. One is to include the batteries, generators, and fuel tanks. And the other is RF signals usually consisting of but not limited to an equipment, shelter, cabinet, or other, et cetera.
I guess part of my reason in eliminating the batteries, generators, and fuel tanks is that you wouldn't have them out there on their own, and if you did,
right, you kind of don't have one without permitting
it.
It's kind of synonymous.
Okay, like
we don't permit fuel tanks to just be out on a piece of property by themselves.
Yeah. So maybe a middle ground. Maybe we could add to that would satisfy.
I don't think it hurts to have it in there either.
Concerns is and all ancillary equipment. That way we could use your blue part that is cleaner. But then instead of listing all things, because for all we know, in 3 years the technology will be such, they won't need batteries. But if we say, and all ancillary equipment, we can imply the LPG and the emergency generator and the batteries and the widgets and the, without David need to always add a new thing to the ordinance every time.
Ancillary, I think, is
or whatever the proper term.
Because technology is changing rapidly.
Right. They need dump batteries. Yeah. I hope in 5 years, or so that'd be where we're at.
And that ancillary to your
after devices.
Solar panels.
It could be anything associated with it. That's what we want.
So that gives us a generic fallback on.
Okay. Yeah. But to your point, if you don't mention it at all, it wasn't covered. And yet, if we go too specific, calamity, then they're going to go, you didn't mention that.
That's right.
And the technology is going to come in.
Yeah. If someone waited here to operate this, you didn't put it in. Yeah.
Exactly.
Could you explain not necessarily explain the note, but is the note, I didn't really understand the note.
I'm referring elsewhere in the RLDC because we have a definition already of a communication facility.
Okay.
And so.
So we're going to go with this bottom one and include ancillary.
Include and all ancillary equipment.
Sure,
where does that come? After reception devices and all ancillary?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Just put it at the end of the sentence.
Okay.
And that makes sense.
All.
Okay. Now, Paul had made a reference to 99020B2. Should we reference that or just ignore it? Let me go
where?
B2.
If anything, that means I prefer that the language under quasi-jurisdictional be revised slightly. And applications for, this is under B2, applications for new wireless communication facilities, and then it says, comma, including support structure.
Where are we? Are we back?
Makes me wonder,
what's your B2?
You know, are those different? And really, they're not. Just, I had some suggested language in my note there.
Okay.
At least that includes support structures. Shall be subject to questions. Just a minor change.
We're dropping including support structures because that's now included in the definition of facilities. Does that address anything you said?
Paul?
Yes, what was that?
Do you want to ask him again?
Since I didn't quite follow you, what you said, but you did mention including support structures, I think we decided to drop those words, including support structures, because that is already included in our definition of facilities. Does that address anything that you...
Yeah, well, specifically for quasi-jurisdictional, because it's my understanding your definition of a wireless PCS communication facility is all wireless facilities, so co-locations, rooftops, towers, support structures. However, under, go back to the quasi-jurisdictional process under, what is it, 99020B2, I want to make it clear that quasi-jurisdictional, the applications for wireless communication facilities, that includes support structures.
Paul, if that sentence actually said applications for new wireless communication facility that includes support structures,
that would be fine.
No, yeah. Well, that changes the meaning of it. I have to think about that. But also, we've already.
And if you don't change it, then it says applications for new wireless communication facilities. That means anything.
Right.
Big co-location, building mounts.
My intention in writing this was, if you've got a new wireless communication facility and it includes a support structure,
yeah,
you're going to a public notice.
That was my understanding, too. I just wanted to clarify.
Okay, that's a good catch.
And if you're adding an antenna, you are a new wireless communication facility in a sense because of the broad definition of facility.
It
includes all that stuff, but you're not going to a hearing for a new antenna.
So what else could it possibly be? If you're a new facility, but you're not a new stuff, I get that. Yeah. And we were also going to include here or an expansion of...
If you needed, let's say you've got a facility that's already established, and you need to put in an additional equipment shelter or additional cabinet.
Right. It's not a...
Then you're not going to a quasi-official.
Okay.
I think that's Paul's point.
Okay.
Have it right, Paul?
I got it.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make it clear that
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's flip the page and go on to the next. And I've got a yellow highlight in 9 that says need to address whether communication facility in the present section should be stricken. I think that the new definitions.
I will read that to you real quick.
Yes.
This is from elsewhere in the RLDC. Communication facility in the RLDC, because this will be a chapter of the RLDC. The definitions of the overall code do apply. So sometimes when you've got code-specific or more specific definitions in an ordinance, you need to make sure you don't have conflicting definitions. Communication facility is defined as a structure for the purpose of transmitting and receiving telegraph, telephone, microwave, television, radio, and other similar signals.
Well, that's pretty all-encompassing.
Yes, it is.
Now, this is definitive, but it says all.
Basically, anything with the signal.
There you go.
So are you questioning our definition here, that it's okay to define it more tightly here, or?
I think he's asking, does this one align itself with this one, which will be the overall? This one's going to supersede, right? Or is this one going to be more specific?
This one's going to be more specific.
So this will tighten. It doesn't contradict the other one.
I don't think it does.
So
that's the question.
Yeah.
Thank you. Articulating that better than
that. Although I didn't hear. I didn't hear.
I'm noting the time here. It's 20 after 4, too. If we can go through, like I said, Paul, and
Siobhan and any others to have. Let's get through this quickly and not do too much wordsmithing and hit the high points. Because
right.
I think there's some substance here that I want to get through, and I can wordsmith later.
So are we on to support structure? I have some
yep.
comments on support
yeah,
structure.
Yeah.
That's
the language you gave.
No, this is not how we define. Here's the language that I gave you. Quote, a support structure.
Okay.
A tower building or other structure that supports an antenna used for cellular/PCS transmission.
Hmm.
And it was, it's anything that supports antennas, including a building top support structure, an existing water tower, a new monopole. That's how we define it. And on that definition is how we base the whole ordinance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
I don't have your notes, so.
Well, what we just read, I mean, I don't have an issue with it, do you?
No.
Basically, it's a structure that supports an antenna.
A tower building or other structure that supports an antenna used for cellular PCS transmission. That's how we had it defined previously.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's give it the date again. Is that 420? After 420, so?
I would have to look for that. I will look for that, but I can also send you this. You don't have this.
What version is it?
What version is it in?
I was just going off the last one you gave me, so.
I don't know that I have a copy of that one myself.
Okay.
Do you want me to read this to you again or send it to you?
Let me make a quick copy.
No, and in the worst case, Anne can make a copy.
But not right now because I've got the next one to copy.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one, non-conforming, or
search rate. Yes, search rate.
Well, wait a minute, I didn't realize we're blowing through this all real fast here.
She's going to get the, where she had the written on this one, the support structure.
So that was all it's going to say, is
basically,
yes.
Yeah, what she just said.
Yeah, right, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't see an issue with it.
No, that's the whole intent.
That probably should have been in blue, so whatever.
Okay, search ring.
Okay, so... This is, search ring is a big issue, but if we're trying to just say it for the definition, I think that is the first thing. Yes, if you look at this thing, and I'm sorry, the green, my printer is having trouble.
You're at
ink. I just changed the ink. There's something wrong
Paul,
with that.
Paul, I'm sorry, you don't have a copy of this, and I'll have to email it to you a little later.
Okay.
Giovanna, could you read your definition now, please?
So I have two possible definitions, and then if we need to discuss these, then I can go through the whole big explanation, which is a much bigger issue that comes up later around search rings. The first possible definition would be, well, the one closest to what we've got written is the second one, an area drawn on a map that indicates where a wireless communication facility or of wireless could be located to meet an RF engineer's chosen requirements. For example, megahertz used, definition of providing service in terms of percentage of coverage. This is cumbersome. Let's drop that one. Let's go to the first one. An area drawn on a map by an RF engineer that indicates utilizing a specific megahertz frequency where a facility could be located to provide service coverage to a specific percentage of an area. And the points, you know, if we want to go into it now, it would be okay. The points that I want to make is a search ring sounds like it's an objective thing, but the RF, depending on which megahertz frequency the RF engineer uses to determine that search ring, and depending on the percentage of coverage of the area that he decides providing coverage means, you're going to come out with very different search rings. So there's a lot of subjectivity embedded within this seemingly objective factor.
However, as far as wording goes, where it states like at a RF engineer's chosen requirements, megahertz, that's not applicable. He doesn't get a choice to choose what megahertz works the best, because a given carrier is going to be licensed for a given band in a given area.
But they're not just licensed for one band. I question, I don't know that. My understanding is that, for example, AT&T, you know, they have the 800 because they took over Singular. They have 800, then they had 1900, and now they have 700. So there are several different bands.
Right.
True, but they may, but each carrier may not be licensed to use them all in a given area. My point, it won't be the engineer's choice. It'll be the design criteria of the system network design people at the carrier level, meaning we're licensed for 1900 here for our new system. That's what it's going to be.
Isn't it possible? Are you absolutely sure that in one area they can only be licensed for, what if they're licensed for 1900 or 700?
They could be multiple licensed, okay. But there won't be multiple bands in a given system. Like when they build a network for a given area, Southern Oregon, it would be all the same band. If they buy out somebody else's system, like Verizon bought out Bramcell, that's a different situation. But again, that wasn't dictated by the engineer.
The engineer has no authority.
No authority whatsoever.
Well, but we're looking at a generic definition of what a search ring is.
Okay? True,
we're
true.
On the definition.
And I realize I was kind of close.
And we'll get into this later when we talk about maps.
When we talk about what the justification of the co-location or any facility is, that's where the unit specifics of what band of coverage, how big is your search ring, and all that kind of stuff. As a general definition of the search ring, does this work or no?
Sure.
Which
one? Yeah, top bottom line.
In blue. Steve, is there a way
that if I live in a community, I can't have the cell provider take advantage of me by using his own junk science and his own RF readings and his own whatever. I'm not very technical on this, but how do we in this ordinance protect the public against people using their own junk science? Is there a way we could, a verbiage or a standard or a standard, I guess, is what I'm looking for out there that I can say. When I bring in my little special meter and I go, oh, I'm sorry, I don't care what your ordinance needs, I want my tower right here.
Well, that's based on the fee that the practicing engineer who is licensed and jeopardizing his license if he uses junk science.
Okay. So this RF stuff, the search ring, it's going to include that PE or that other guy?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't say that. It just says that they're going to get to come in and do their millihertz definite thing.
Yeah, they're going to define.
So the RF engineer is going to be that guy. It's not going to just be the industry coming in with their own little special meter. It's going to.
Well, there's a lot of further on in this code. It looks like there's a lot of justification for a site where a carrier would have to justify the need for their site.
True.
And the need and why they need to locate at that location. There's a lot of criteria in this code that could be adopted like this, which would require the carriers to demonstrate why they need to go in a certain location.
But that's the
definition of a search ring isn't necessarily going to be as effective as that language that that's later on in this code.
Yes, absolutely. I absolutely agree.
You don't
agree.
Build the justification of the size of the search ring in the definition of the search ring.
That's just part of demonstrating why you need a facility. You need to provide coverage to it. An area, let's say, and you need to demonstrate that somehow, and that's going to be required in this code. That's not as common to be required in codes where you need to demonstrate what is the site for, or like is there a coverage gap that you need to provide service to, or whatever.
Yeah,
and I think that is the best, more effective way of addressing.
Okay. So does the search ring.
I think the issue for me is the definition. There's an implication. I agree with you that when this really becomes important is later on in the application and, you know, what kind of justification is needed. But written this way, there's an implication or a connotation that the RF engineer's requirements are some kind of objective requirements that an engineer, you know, knows are objective. And they're not necessarily, because embedded in this is when he says, I need a tower here to create coverage there, I want to ask how much coverage. I mean, maybe you need a tower here to give 90% coverage there, but maybe if you co-located on this tower over here, you would get 80% coverage there. So that there are some subjective things embedded in this. And I just would like to see some representation of that even in the definition.
I don't know if the county can start being on or drawing lines as far as what percentage of the population you're going to be covering?
That's arguable in terms of court cases, in terms of you know, what justifies a particular tower because what we're obligated to give a company.
The FCC rules dictate that a given carrier will cover a certain percentage of a licensed area, so they may be required to even
70% to keep their license.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, but
that's one part.
But I'll make you a bet that the RF engineer search rings aren't based on 70%.
Okay, Dave?
No.
Dave?
Uh-huh. If the whole section there about to meet RF engineer's requirements were just strictly, that's real generic.
And Eric, you don't have to interface for a while.
Right. Let me ask this question, Steve.
Where the facility could be located to provide
RF engineer set the requirements of this?
No. All the RF engineer does is prove or otherwise disprove what a carrier is asking for.
Okay, so that's where our discrepancy is. The RF engineer is not setting the requirements. He's just verifying.
Correct.
So if we take out reference to the RF engineer's requirements entirely,
how
in
about
that definition, then a search ring is it's a map of the location on it.
How about this? How about could be located to meet the requirements given an RF engineer to provide? Because that's what's really happening.
Yeah.
An area drawn on a map that indicates where a wireless communication facility could be located to meet the requirements given to an RF engineer to provide service to an area.
Perfect. Yeah, as justified by, you know, an engineer studied by an RF license.
Because I agree. Once he's given, you know, once the company gives him the requirements, then it's defense science.
Right, but he wasn't setting it, and that's where I had my issue,
right,
was making him set the requirements,
right,
but they're not his requirements.
Right.
They're somebody else's requirements he had verified.
The carriers have a whole slew of their own RF engineers look at topography, and they come up with what it's going to be.
That's third party.
That's
really what I was trying to say.
Okay,
so we're good.
So that sets the ground for the big discussion we will have later.
Okay, so we can move with that now.
We're presenting us, right?
No, it's a big issue.
Yeah, right.
You know, because again, that 70%, 90%, you know,
okay,
I could co-locate and get 85.
Moving on to my knowledge, it's 4:30. Let's focus on concepts.
Okay.
You can send me emails on wordsmith and all that. But misspelled
No, I gotta get to it now. I gotta get it over with.
So Dave's saying kick it in gear a little bit, so we're not wasting too much time on.
I think we're doing great.
Yeah. I like the progress we're all meeting. Shivana, what's your next? My next one's not until item 3 on
99.040 into non-conforming uses and structures. No, that's just what a change to verbiage we've already done. It's both the things we've already done. Co-location is going to be changed and the PCS is going to be added. Right? Everywhere.
So I like the blue. I didn't have any problem with it.
Nope.
Okay.
My next one is C signs.
Signs, okay.
And this you will find, you should find, yes, you'll find, but I'm getting out because it's a few more words than you. I'd just like to add to this what we decided in what we approved in draft 3, which is also, except for informational warning or danger signs directly related to safety or reporting problems, facilities, support structures, they don't need the support structures, facilities shall not be used for advertisements or messages.
I was on to a $1 million plan. I was going to have billboards on all these cellular signs.
We had that in 3. I'd just like to add it to what's here.
They typically have emergency phone numbers, a site name, a site number, quite a bit of reference information is on the sign.
Yeah, it says it shall list. This one says it shall list there. Provide all that.
And it typically does fit within 4 square feet, so it's up on there. I got to go back for a minute on A, because we're trying to be thorough here without taking too much time. And Dave, maybe you can help support this thing. Anti-climb devices, all wireless communication support structures. Well, there's kind of like, is no real thing like the anti-climb devices for a lattice tower. A monopole, you should remove the climbing pegs, so you can't reach the next thing way the heck up there. But a giant three-legged structure, you can't sheath, they do not sheath the entire 30 feet bottom with, you know, sheet metal so you can't grab a hold. There's rungs everywhere. Lattice tower, it's not as flexible as possible.
Okay.
You might have a fence around the perimeter with barbed wire, but you can't do the tower.
Like I said, it was taken from another ordinance.
Oh, okay.
They had it in there.
All right.
I'm just throwing it out there if you want to do it or not.
I feel like Darren just make it where applicable.
Okay.
But if it applies to a single tower or not, doesn't apply to a...
And part of the reason I bring this up is because I want to seem like real naive in the face of the industry, and I'm like, what? Okay. Who are these people?
Well, if it's where applicable, then it eliminates the triad.
And that's the fence and the barbed wire and all that.
Okay. Science, you turned that into Dave Shimana, what we had before.
I'm a little concerned about going into advertising things like that for two reasons. One, we already have a sign code. It's not very good, but we have a sign code. Once you start talking about advertising, you're talking about content, and really, 4 square feet is...
Yeah, two.
Right there.
Well,
what kind of advertising are you going to do?
Where do we have 4 square feet?
In the blue.
Yeah, but this isn't limiting it. This doesn't say it's the only one.
What's that? With A.
Yeah, it doesn't say there's no other signs.
What's that?
It doesn't say there shall be no other signs. It just says that that sign has to be there.
Yeah.
All the signs should be identified and limited to. We could do that.
Sure.
Yeah,
shall,
it should be limited
to the nominal limit, all shall be
identified and limited to.
Yeah.
1 4-foot square.
Okay.
And one non-illuminated sign.
Not and that's because this is what they do.
And the sign shall list only the wireless service provider. Da, 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 da.
We should also include the FCC required signage as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we don't want to, if there is an if there is a warning or a danger or an emergency or something like that, we don't want to preclude that, you know, a sign saying, you know, under construction or warning for right now or something like that.
Well, that would probably be under the FCC required sign.
Okay.
Because they would have to add that. So I would just add FCC required sign next to it.
Yeah.
That works.
Do we need to put OSHA requirements in there? Because they're going to have requirements also.
I guess you could. I'm not sure. But there are FCC signs,
All right. Before you climb the tower.
I don't want to get too prescriptive with it.
I've not seen a sign.
Somebody come here with Pepsi on their sign and wants to tell me it's FCC required. I can catch that.
We're flashing.
Shimana, what's the next one you got? Because I'm clear on the
page. I'm good.
Yeah. I just wanted to add something that we had already approved. The last sentence is, the finished coloring shall be non-reflective.
And that's embodied where?
That was embodied in draft 3, and we had approved it, and I just want to add it to F. The finished coloring shall be non-reflective.
Yeah, well, that would be important. The rest of the paint's kind of irrelevant, because it doesn't hardly do anything.
Okay. Next. It's just huge, because it's not huge to me. I'm fine with it, except Dave has the yellow question. Okay. So.
I have three notes here. One of them was focused on the setback to hospitals, because hospitals typically have their own communications equipment, which may include a cell tower. The setback would preclude them from erecting a wireless facility.
What kind of
issue with that. Second note, if the committee wishes to provide extra distance to the dwelling, I would recommend a lesser general setback and the standard of increasing it for residents who are present. And again, I know you've passed on some language. I'm making this suggestion. Standards should be determined based on mitigation impacts and consistent in their application, not dependent upon the allowance of particular property owners. That, from a land use standpoint, is troublesome.
Which one are we talking about? Public facility?
So I think the second note, the allowance of particular property owners which can waive a setback.
Do we want to table this and go reevaluate it when we come back to setbacks?
If you wish.
Yes, we should. Let's move forward.
What do you mean just come back to this?
Yeah, we're going to come back to this when we're coming back to what we started the meeting with. So.
Okay.
We're trying to get through as much as we can so Dave can get things moving.
And the third note there, public facilities undefined in the code, you mean to apply to public and some of public buildings, the rest stop, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, those are just questions I have to help focus this discussion. Moving on through.
Wildfire safety. Charles.
Oh, I had a question before you get to that. On 5 in your blue, the suggested. I just want to get a clarification. Setbacks for freestanding communication support structure shall be measured from the ground level base of the structure. Are we going from the edge or the center?
It's the same.
Measured from the edge of the tower.
Okay.
The house.
Anything, that's how we measure. Yeah.
I had to clarify.
Is this the setback is measured? We measure horizontal.
Oh.
So if the setback is 1,500 feet, it's
okay. Just one. That's how I understood that. Wildfire safety. Charlie had a couple of things just for questions.
I just had noticed that the document did not make any reference to maintaining the LPG, getting any necessary permits, meeting NFPA 58 and fire code on all the LPG and those types of things. That was.
Can you give me some language?
Would there be
an email to me?
Yeah.
Give me some language that work for that. Yeah. I was a little up in the air about wildfire safety and how we wanted to address that, because Article 76
going to cover it.
Is on,
but it's not going to cover the permit for the LPG or anything.
Yeah, we can just come up with some generic, applicant shall secure all necessary permits.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll come up, I'll get you something on that, Dave, just some generic stuff.
Right.
I just don't want them to put it in once and then forget about it, let it.
And I had mentioned once before that I checked with Tyson Schultz with the ODF. I can't give you his title, but he had no particular concerns or requests or advisements or anything. If something happens, they go out and fight the wildlands, regardless of the source.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I just want to say Article 76 is residential, and that's
I'm just confused that phrase as applies to new structures. Within, are you saying that this only applies to a forest zone, or am I not reading that correctly?
What are you on,
Shannon? Wildfire safety, what's actually written there.
Your page is so different from mine.
Yeah, because that's been different out of home. A wildfire safety plan, driveway access plan required for all facilities per requirements of 76 as applies to new structures within a forest zone. It sounds like it only applies to structures within a forest zone. I'm not clear.
That's where Article 76 applies.
Oh, okay. That's all I needed.
Okay. Next.
And I'm questioning whether we have.
Well, what about the other zones? What about fire? I mean, that's the most important one to protect in some ways. But
76 covers all the county.
Forest zones in all the county? Or just forest zones?
Now, the way it would work would be if you're in, let's say, the forest zone, then ODF or BLM or one of them would be the authority having jurisdiction in concert with the county. And what other areas would there be? A commercial area?
Well, I'm just saying, does this wildlife safety regulation that we're putting in here, whatever it is, referring to Article, does it apply to all new structures, no matter what zone they're in?
David, you want to answer that? It's the county's Article 76. I'm not sure what its scope is.
Yeah, what about?
I don't think it would apply at all.
Well, then, are we doing anything? Okay, wildfire. What about fire?
Well, yeah, you're not going to have a wildfire.
We're not going to have a wildfire.
Residential area.
Yeah.
We would have a fire or a fire.
Well, and it does mean county. We have no fire authority unless you're in Wolf Creek or Cave Junction. There is no fire authority. And so that's why I'm kind of confused, actually, on what you're asking me.
Well, one thing I didn't know Article, I don't know Article 76 so well, so I didn't know that
gives
that means
access. It gives access and clear vegetation. It has access and clear vegetation provisions.
Only if it's in a forest.
Great.
Only if something's in a forest.
So they can get the trucks in, is what this was designed.
Oh, I'm just saying, does it only apply to a forest
zone? No.
Well,
getting
then this language seems to me to say that
what
it only applies.
Strike forest zone.
Only applies to new structures within a forest zone. That's what I have. I'm reading this.
I copied it from.
Okay.
And you want all structures in all zones.
Yeah.
Read my note below. I don't think it applies at all because Article 76 is regarding residential structures.
Okay.
So I think we need to rewrite the whole thing, and I'm asking Charlie if you have some lineup.
That works.
Is that what we use for criteria when we're...
Yeah, so I think David's point is we don't even need it in this ordinance because we're going to catch it in Article 76 as they're going through the process anyway. Am I following that?
No, because Article 76 is applicable to residences. So I don't think Article 76 is the right article reference.
Oh, okay.
I would prefer a reference to a state fire standard or something else.
Okay, so let's put that on Charlie and David to work that one out.
Okay. Work that one out.
Okay, next.
What does Che mean? What is this? Am I going backwards? No, I'm not. Well, just want to let me. You were serving that for something later, for something that you're going to say later.
I saw a dispersal in a couple of wireless ordinances.
What is that?
And that is what that's in reference to, where you use it, is if you have a wireless plan for a county, a master plan, and you talk about dispersal of.
Okay.
And grouping them. So you wouldn't have. And it's an issue that the committee hasn't really addressed, but Cell Tower Hill.
He's laying groundwork for future plan.
Right.
Yes, that's fine.
And some of you know that I came from Colorado recently, and outside of Denver, there is a hill called Buckout Mountain, and it has all the cell towers on it. And what they wanted to do was to have some sort of dispersal so all the towers weren't grouped in one spot. And that's a judgment call on whether you want them there or not.
Yeah.
But all the towers happen to be in one location. Some people think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
People that live on Lookout Mountain don't think it's a great idea. I'm throwing something in there, reserving it for later. If we decide that we want to group towers rather than have them dispersed through the county, if that's even an option, I'm just throwing it.
And that's even
luxury, too.
That is something I wanted to discuss about as a possibility that maybe co-location is our first choice, maybe our second choice, if it works for the service and everything like that, is a second support structure in a site that already has a support structure before we go to a brand new site.
Yeah, it's a good idea, technically and visually.
And so we have to put that in here.
Consolidated.
Yeah.
Right.
We have to put that in here.
I saw all of them. I want to hear from that subcommittee. Yeah. Tell me whether it's a priority or not, and I'll answer the line.
I think that would be our second choice, and then our third choice is a brand new spot.
Especially because knowing that we have build outs of a given carrier, but you have additional carriers who want to come to the area. Well, we've already got a spot to put you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Anything before Q? My next thing is Q.
Sometimes it's the solution of the user.
Okay, I got nothing before Q. And we're going to stop at 99060, so we're not going to get the rest of that.
Aww.
Let people want to hang out a little while.
Good, no, I can stop.
Okay. 15 minutes. Q, what do you got on Q?
Okay, Q. Let me just read what I wrote. The section to me is very confusing. First, the word access is confusing because we're not talking about actual physical access to the site. First I started editing it, and then I realized that we also seem to be talking about two different issues. One is development, Section A, the first half of Section A is about development standards to which all new facilities must adhere. And then the second half of Section A and B and C seem to be application requirements, justifications for a new facility location. So I have an edit that I suggest. At least for me, the edit that I suggested is that it's a... No. Not making sense?
Yes, no, by following, I'm not really losing
okay.
It.
To me, the section, the Q is confusing for two reasons. One is because the title, Co-Location Access Study, I think that has something to do with how you access.
So should you change access to utilization?
I say co-location accommodation, because you're talking about whether it can accommodate other things.
Sure.
You know.
Okay.
But then, I wouldn't even do that. You know, we're in definition, we're in, are we in definitions, or are we in, what section are we in? I'm lost here.
Yeah.
Are we still in definitions?
Yeah.
Okay. So it seems like...
So
what Q really should say would be co-location, co-location accommodation. Access to all new wireless communication facilities shall be provided for purposes of co-location by other carriers. at minimum, the structure must be designed to accommodate at least, and we can discuss that, wireless.
Two wireless antennas.
There's so much confusion. There's so much different things here. See, I would say, I'd like, if this is going to be a co-location, I'd like to say that they have to provide for three different companies, them and two other companies, not just them and one other company.
Yeah, keep in mind, when you do that, you're going to run into what happened at the AT&T site at the north end of town, where in order to accommodate three carriers, they want to be 165 feet. Because you have to have some degree of space to put it. And then the community at large freaked out about that, didn't want it, and the commissioners agreed to put it
like
two carriers at 95.
Yeah, well, that was great, and that was a crazy thing. But we already said it can be up to 200 feet. We said that clearly in our ordinance, that
right,
it would be up to 200 feet.
Yeah, are you wanting to insist that it is taller than, say, perhaps two side by side? Because we talked about that as well. If another carrier comes in, might they co-locate on a facility? In other words, two at 90 might be better than one at 165, perhaps. Which I know makes it messy. You can't really answer that.
I mean, if it's on the same site, that really is our second choice. That's an interesting, it's an interesting. I mean, so that's something to discuss. You know, is co-location if they just allow one other company, or do we want to say they need to allow two other companies? Another thing is, do they have to leave room for antenna installations of the same size that they're installing? We're saying a new tower. Companies, Verizon's putting up its new tower.
Mm-hmm.
It has to accommodate for co-location. Mm-hmm. And it has an installation that's this big.
Sure.
So does it just have to leave this much more, under them, this much more for another company, or do they have to leave for two companies? And also, how do they define, are we going to say that it has to be the same amount that they're putting on is what they have to allow for the next company? Because they might just allow, well, we're just going to let them have one of those, what would they call it?
Something came to mind as you were talking about this. Let's say their PE or RF engineer says, well, we want a taller tower when we already have a co-location with this tower on it. What are we going to do there? Because there's a different specification. As we know, this field is blossoming all the time with new technology. So are we locking somebody into something that may not work out well?
Not particularly, because regardless of the technology, you're going to still have antennas that are going to be pretty much the same thing. What we're worrying about there is size, weight, wind loading. We're requiring a support structure to accommodate that. It should be a bigger structure, but not appreciably. It is a good idea to require at least two.
The taller,
might get kind of tough.
The taller the tower, the more reception you're going to get, correct?
True.
Because of the, especially, I'm looking at Josephine County's terrain when I'm looking at
it. It's a difficult one.
Yeah, it's difficult at best. Because, I get a lot of drop phone calls as I'm traveling because we're just dipping down into areas that signal's not going to get to.
Trees and mountains suck it all up, and that's all we have.
Yeah. That's it.
Not that Tom's actually driving while he's talking.
There's legal instruments that you can use to talk on. You don't hold that phone.
You know what I'm going to say? If we're going to stop at 99.060 anyway, there's a lot embedded in this queue. Why don't we just stop one definition short of that, and when we're fresh, I'd like to be fresher to take this one on myself.
I can see in reading it again, you always have fresh eyes and put your own work down and pick it up a week later. Remember, we're on definitions. And so not writing it, the word shall shouldn't be in it.
Right.
So I'm thinking this is more like describing what a co-location access study should be. And we'll leave it at that. But what I think Siobhan is taking a bit of my lead that I've given you here, open the door to discussing more of a regulatory function.
Right.
This is supposed to be just a definition.
Right.
So it does need to be reworded. I admit that.
And B and C need to be somewhere else.
Let's focus on co-location access studies, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, we changed it to co-location accommodation study.
Well, now I'm realizing what I suggested is, if we're stopping at 90...
Well, access to the tower is what we're talking about, not access to the site.
This is a more complex thing. I'm saying, since we're going to stop in 2 minutes at 99.060 anyway, let's stop right before here so we can have fresher minds.
Right. Right. So we'll pause at Q. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm up for keeping going, but it's up to you guys.
I'm not going to. Maybe something like appropriate language to say space to accommodate.
Man, that's a good progress.
Yeah, well, leave appropriate space to accommodate financial location.
That was a lot of that.
Do we have a date.
We've got an upcoming hearing, and we need to be cranking through a lot of this stuff faster.
Well, I have people on meeting more often. I mean, if
we can meet next week.
God, no!
We're almost done, man. I want to kick it out.
I want you to know that what we've just done, I put 9 hours into this over the last 2 days.
It shows. You're right on it.
I don't have another 9 hours in the next week.
Well, you only did through Q? You haven't done the whole thing?
We're almost up at where I stopped. I only did through page 10. Through 99.
You mean basically monthly. Last time was a month ago. I mean, 2 weeks?
Well, we have
we've only had this thing for 2 weeks, Dave. It doesn't matter how long the gap there was. We've only had
the document. Well, that would take 2 weeks forward instead of a month. You know, we've been going on monthly. Can we go 2 weeks?
It's on the 27th of this month.
June 27th. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you put me down for it, young lady. I'll make it so.
I mean, once I saw how many differences there were and how many things we were going to have to discuss again, the idea that we're almost there and we're going to get the thing to the commission next month or something.
I guess that's different to different people.
We do have a noticed meeting with the planning commission, so.
Yeah. Well,
whatever happens here, we're.
Well, probably we are.
Yeah. Whoever set that meeting date may need to do what you said. A new meeting date.
When you bring it to the commission,
it's already been noticed.
When we finally bring it to the commission, yes.
So it's already been noticed.
It's going to take the extra time here than have it come to us and then they start picking it apart.
That's what PC is going to do, is they're going to look at it and evaluate it and go order.
But differences that you may be seeing in the way it's structured. The recommendations, the concept, I'm paraphrasing sometimes, I'm pulling out language that, that's verbatim, and other times I'm not pulling it out verbatim, because frankly, there were some criteria and some standards that were this long on a page, and I handed it to James Black and said, can you implement that? And said, I don't know. So that's what we're trying to get to. And sometimes it's taking a paragraph that you had and splitting out into an A, B, and C. The difference is, I think, in terms of the priorities again. What are our priorities? It's co-location first. It's looking for other opportunities before we're putting up new towers. I mean, those kind of things are, I think, they're sprinkled throughout the way I did this. Looking at restrictions by zone, which is how we regulate the rest of the code. So I'm looking for similar structure and how we can write a permit or justify not writing a permit on some of the cell towers. So,
where's your calendar?
Basically, about halfway through it right now.
Anyway.
Yeah, we're almost halfway through. We are basically about halfway through.
Although
we skipped one of the big issues. We decided not to.
Yeah, we're going to.
Yeah.
8 or the 15th. What day? 8 or 15th?
Not the 8th for sure.
15th.
Does it have to be a Wednesday? Does that work for everybody, or is it pretty semi-flexible?
Well, I prefer a Thursday myself.
I can't do Thursday.
Okay.
Wednesday's
are good for us because we have the office closed.
Wednesday.
Okay, so Wednesday's 15th, 3 p.m.
Okay.
So can I have a few minutes?
Yeah.
We've got two separate.
We're not here yet. Got to set our, let me get, I got to write down some time and I can't think of what I'm writing.
June 27th.
Yep.
Okay.
So last Monday.
Yeah. Cell phone
users. 27th is what?
That's the hearing of the planning commission.
Yeah.
Do we need Paul anymore?
Okay.
Paul, are you still there?
I'm here. I got the June 15th date.
Okay, good. Okay.
Okay. Then Matt, from other committee members, anyone have anything? No. We got the agenda date, time, and place. Steve and Barbara, citizen at large, have some things. So go ahead, Steve. We'll start with you.
I'm just going to briefly address Paul's question about why a 1,500-foot setback. The general public is subject to the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which says, you can't keep these towers out. You know, so you have to work with that structure. But the fact of the matter is there's a large percentage of the population, especially in certain areas, that are completely freaked out about these towers and the radiation that they emit. But the Telecommunications Act says that you have to submit to this being irradiated. Okay. So they have to submit to that. So this 1,500 foot was trying to make this law, in my mind, trying to make this ordinance a little more public friendly towards these people who are completely freaked out about being irradiated. And I think it's the least we can do for them.
Now, I appreciate those concerns. However, the county can't base the setback off of radio frequency emissions.
Right. We understand that.
We understand that, right. But nonetheless, it doesn't stop the public from being freaked out.
Yeah, and maybe there's some education needed in that to calm down a bit.
Barbara, do you have something?
I just have a couple things. First question that I would have is, I'm sorry I didn't catch the name, the gentleman is the planner. You could put together a map that would lay it out with like what I basically did with my here's your square acre.
Right.
I would be interested in seeing it in places like Colonial Valley, that the population is increasing there. Would it be possible to put a tower under these standards? Could you put a tower somewhere to cover the population? I'm just grabbing Colonial Valley as an example, because for a long time there was no service there. And so I would like to see a study done that actually is already starting to see a need, because you can say, yes, here's a 120-acre parcel, but the way that the houses could lay out, you could have a little one-bedroom trailer that's a resident that could end up screwing up that 200 square acres. So I would like to see something that actually shows how it would be impacted by where the residences are actually.
Right. In the initial, I don't know if you got a chance to see this or not, probably, but we did it on.
These
are 1,500 feet around known sites, which are some of the things that were noted in the cases for the setback, like public schools, hospitals, public parks. And so, because those are known things and we have them mapped, we don't have individual houses mapped in GIS. So for me to take a 1,500-foot setback around each house is a real labor-intensive project for our GIS guy. We can't do it through PUMA.
Right.
This was a PUMA exercise. We have the school map. We have the school property map. So we just put 1,500 feet and say, okay, which properties do we touch if we do that? And that's how we ended up doing it.
But what you're talking about, in an ideal world, I could do a touch of a button.
My concern is
we don't have that individual houses map.
Right.
And one of the issues that we brought up in response to the committee's recommendations was it also says proposed residences.
Right.
Well, if somebody walks in one day, we've got a quasi-judicial land use application in the pipeline. I've got a hearing scheduled. I've got a staff report written, we're ready to go, and somebody comes in and says, I'm going to put a house right there. And now it changes the landscape for me.
So that could be done by CDIT. Yeah, we can address that. Could be done. The reason that one came up is because it actually happened somewhere. Where somebody had already gotten the permits, their driveway and everything, put tens of thousands of dollars into the driveway and were building the house site. And then 30 feet away.
You're saying permitted, but there was a word proposed. I'm not sure how those two can.
Says that it has to be, but it has to do with the base, obviously. More if that were to continue, and I'm not, I'm just telling you, I want to describe the situation, not right now. You know, that happened, that brought that up to grapple.
Right.
Obviously, the applications have to predate.
Right.
The permits have to.
I don't want to see a ton of power eaters. I don't want this to become so restrictive that you can never put another tower in a populous area, which is the whole point of the cellular company. And then the other point that I would like to state as a homeowner and a property owner in Josephine County is I own 78 acres. If I want to have a tower on the top of my house, as long as it's not infringing and as long as it fills the requirement I'm being told that I don't have the right to do that, and I disagree with that because it's my decision what I want to sell the house for later or not. And as long, I could have 200 acres, and there's basically very few spots on that 200 acres that I could put a tower that would I would still be able to have my house. And
yeah,
I take exception.
Well, it's not, in the current language, you can waive your house.
It by 250 feet.
No. In the current, we're going to have to revisit that language. No. But in the current language, somebody can, if for their, the one that you didn't like, where we said that a person can waive.
Yeah, you can take it, you can have it, as long as it's notarized, it's that,
yeah.
That's 250 feet.
I'll look into that.
Okay. But this isn't. But if there was someone to the property right behind you, for
example, if my property, if the people next to me said, "Sure, I don't care if it's there," I think if it's the consensus of the neighbors to say, "We want it here, we need it,"
right.
There should be no restriction that but it can only change by 250. Because if there's a consensus of five neighbors to say, "We really feel we need the cell tower," we're all willing to sign off on it.
Yeah, I'll look into that because I didn't realize the sign off was limited by the setback.
Yeah, and that's all part of the setback stuff we're gonna.
But I'm gonna look into that at the sign off.
Hit that,
I guess I don't even get to the neighbor sign off. I'm proposing that we come up with a setback that's reasonable, that works for everybody, without having a cell tower company being subject to the whims of that particular property owner or one property owner that doesn't want to sign off, because you may have five neighbors and three of them want it, two of them don't, or one of them doesn't.
Sure.
The lone holdout syndrome, and there's always one.
In this county, that'll happen.
And do that for reasons that have nothing to do with the actual issues.
I did have really serious, you know, Steve's mentioned that number to me a million times, and it just kind of went through my head, and he happened to catch me when I was working. Doing my books.
Well, you have to be listening to me.
And I plugged my numbers in. I mean, that's a lot of acres. And it's actually 0.56 miles from point A to point B. That's a lot of land. 0.56 miles would have to be clear around that mile.
I mean, we can also ask, I mean, it's possible to ask two other communities, for example, that I know of that have 1,500 feet in the law and find out how much difficulty that they've had.
The problem being, though, is
But the other thing that I see
is this is for expansion. We're going to be expanding because the populace has grown. And by the nature of the fact that the populace has grown, that means houses are going to be coming closer together. So the potential to corner it to the point where, and I know it's not your intention either, to make it so that there can't be any expansion because the nature of the beast is there's too much populace here now, we need to cover it. Oh, we can't because we've got this restriction that says we can no longer. So now you're in catch 22, this vicious circle that's going to go around, and we're not going to be able to service the people that need to be served because, as everybody's admitted, technology is changing leaps and bounds and going and going and going.
There's something that wasn't mentioned here today, and that is the fact that it's not only the population growth that we're experiencing here in Thursby County, is that people are getting rid of their landlines and are going to cellular phones. So as that technology is growing, we're going to have to really look at this and what we, as the people of Thursby County, are willing to put up with and not willing.
But I want to be careful when we talk about people in general, because there also are large, and I mean large, numbers of people in this county don't want to see the cell towers everywhere, who really, you know, have some, you know, reasonable aesthetic property value, some issues. So there are people all over the world.
I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them. I don't think they're particularly attractive. But, you know, I look up at $8 Mountain when I come from the Cape Junction, I'm looking up there at that thing going, you know, it's not aesthetic on $8 Mountain, but I know it's a necessity.
But it's just far away.
It's far away, yeah.
And I guess my only other input as far as this goes is there are, you know, and Steve has said monopoles are not always a doable thing, but they've got these things now that look like trees, and they've got them that look, you know, like flagpoles and such like that. And personally, I'd rather have a few more of those which would
have
been
heaters on them or something
that
like that.
You don't see and you're not offended by than a giant tower, so you can get up that much higher.
But we are, again, we are trying to accommodate for the whole population,
sure.
And I hear what you're interested in, and I'm, for whatever reason, here representing another major group of the population that feels different.
Right, but I'm just asking you personally, if you have to have a tower, no two ways, government says you've got to have a tower here because you've got to cover your 70%, we've hit that, would you not, wouldn't you rather see a monopole that looks like a tree
than a giant tower?
Well, yeah. But that has nothing to do with
but it does
where
because
I can place it.
Yes, and in a way it does, because you might have two structures that look like trees that nobody's going to even hardly tune into.
Have you seen the ones with trees that look like trees?
But they still look better than the... Yes, I have. They still look better than the tall towers, in my opinion.
Well, it depends if they're standing alone. If they're standing alone,
true.
They look like...
True.
They do blend in better.
A comedy. If they're in within trees or right in front of trees, they blend in better,
right.
For sure.
I was thinking about your paint when you were about that green, should we mandate that they have a tower that is green? Then we have to put a light on top of them so aircraft don't run into them.
And it doesn't make any difference. I've seen them camo the towers, sponge them. Doesn't make any difference. It's irrelevant. It's a backdrop. It's a contrast.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference.
The one that's up here at the end of B Street.
Exactly.
You hiked up to that one.
Uh-huh.
It's actually been
that's the one.
Camouflage.
Sponge camo.
Does it stand right out, or does it?
You look at it. It looks just like the tower across the way that has no paint. It's just there. Non-reflective is important. The paint, kind of irrelevant.
Well, if you're in the woods, let's say you are in BLM,
you're back to that, blending in, but if you just sit there,
I hiked my dog up there a couple of times, and I looked at that and had the same reaction. I was like, why did they bother painting this? That's silly.
I've seen,
because it's obviously not covered.
Yes,
on the other hand,
Paul? We're going to let you go.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
On the other hand, there's a monopole at the top of the Keystone Theater in Colorado. And having been around the wireless industry and written ordinances and that kind of thing, I just got off the ski lift one day and just stood there and listened to people. And once in a while, you hear somebody go, that's it. That's not a tree. And sure enough, I mean, I had skied right past the thing a couple of times and never noticed it.
Was it near other trees? Was it kind of, that's when I...
There's some trees up there, but this is at the top of the ski slope where they've taken most of it out to make the ski roof.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one that stands not entirely by itself, but it's not surrounded by other trees. It's on a ridge, and there are other trees in the area, of course. But you literally, when you're coming up the ski lift, you don't know it's not a tree unless you're paying real close attention, or you happen to ski past it and notice that there's a big electrical box on the side of it.
Or run into
trees usually don't.
Yeah.
Or if you ran into it, that would be a problem too.
Well, unfortunately,
they've done a pretty good job of it. And one thing that I did add in this particular draft was a lot more language than you had previously about visual screening. So that I focus on that, and really, at the next meeting, that's the meat and potatoes, I think, of some of the issues I want to talk to. What about visual impact screening? Particular zones that we want to make zone restrictions on, anything different about that? So as far as that is and then the property value thing, I did talk to the assessor on it, and she said, to do that kind of study is going to be difficult, but
it'll be hearsay.
She told me how you go about it, and so we can discuss that. But,
and there was wording in here of like a 3% difference than an issue of other than, and again, that would be hearsay.
Well, we talked about that in our group meetings too. It's just there's no way to validate it.
Right.
So, all right. Well, like I said, my concern was I should be able to put power on.
That's a bigger issue about personal rights versus that whole thing. And I just want to that there are people who feel differently. So it's challenging for all of us to accommodate You know, there are people who really feel very strongly about distance.
It's usually always not in my backyard.
You skipped the O.
As far as sensitivity of radiation.
Another, I mean, I've got three additional ones to propose, so I can make one of them.
No, that's all right.
As far as radiation, I mean, it's just a number.
Well, here, you're going to get more radiation from the sun than you are going to get from that.
Well, I know. That's why I took that piece of my skin out already.
Ron, are we meeting adjourned or?
Yeah.
Meeting's adjourned.
Continue, and then at the end, go back to setbacks. We're just trying to get.